from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moldine. It's Friday, February 3rd. Coming up, Northern Illinois University recently joined a pilot program bringing virtual reality to higher ed classrooms. We'll learn more about the program from Peter Medlin coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. The Illinois Attorney General's office has filed a lawsuit against companies that make PFAS, a highly toxic group of chemicals. Indy Cara reports.
PFAS accumulate in bodies and ecosystems. They're used in everything from rain gear to popcorn bags. This lawsuit looks to recover costs associated with PFAS-caused damage to Illinois' natural resources, like water, and with monitoring and remediation. Sonia Lunder with the Sierra Club says lawsuits are critical, but chemical regulations also need to tighten.
To make sure that they don't have these devastating ecological and health damages before they're put into production. When we see signs that chemicals are impacting the way our immune systems work forever, we need to take more rapid action.
Lunder says regulations move slowly, so it's essential to stay ahead of damages caused by these chemicals. I'm Indy Cara.
The Illinois Mental Health Task Force launched its action plan yesterday to help the large percentage of people in the court system who struggle with mental health. Catherine Zinoff is a judge in the 4th District Appellate Court. She says this plan will help create a more compassionate response from the justice system in Illinois.
Meeting the needs of these individuals within the courts requires a collaborative approach and is essential to ensuring public safety and creating fair and effective criminal justice responses.
The plan provides guidelines for courts and agencies to better help people who struggle with mental health and substance abuse. These include behavioral health training for police officers, mental health screenings during the trial process, and improved treatment for people who are incarcerated. The task force was created by the Illinois Supreme Court. The Piatt County Zoning Board of Appeals voted unanimously last night against recommending a zoning permit for a wind turbine project proposed by Apex Clean Energy. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows reports.
John Jordan supports the Goose Creek Wind Farm project. He's agreed to host a wind turbine on property where he lives in northern Piatt County. Jordan took the zoning board's opposition in stride.
They're entitled to their opinion. It's probably going to cost the county a lot of money because where are we going to replace the revenue?
Jordan referred to the tax revenue that the 50-turbine wind farm would produce. But Zoning Board Vice Chairman Jim Harrington said he was mindful of residents who don't want to live near a wind turbine.
I think the school revenue is important. I think tax revenue is important. But we also have to say, hey, would I want to live with one of these? Would I want that?
The Piatt County Board will make the final decision on the wind farm. County Board Vice Chairman Jerry Edwards says a date to consider the proposal has not been set. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
The Fighting Illini women's basketball team lost at number 18 Michigan last night, 74-57. Kendall Bostic and Genesis Bryant each scored 18 points to lead Illinois. The Illini trailed by 19 points at halftime after shooting just 28% in the first half. Illinois is now 17-6 overall and 7-5 in the Big Ten. They'll return home for a game on Sunday against Minnesota. Still to come, we'll take you inside a classroom at Northern Illinois University that's using virtual reality in its instruction. That story from Peter Medlin is coming up next on 217 Today.
Coming up on the Atomic Age Cocktail Party, we're spending an evening in Roma. Songs about Rome and Italy, and other Italian songs that made their way to American hi-fis during the Atomic Age. We'll hear from Jerry Vale, Buddy Greco, and even Annette Funicello. I'm your host, Jason Croft. Tune in Friday nights at 9 and Saturday nights at 11 on WILL FM 90.9 and always on demand at will.illinois.edu.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Northern Illinois University recently joined a pilot program bringing virtual reality to higher ed classrooms. Peter Medlin put on a VR headset to learn more about the surprising ways a professor is using virtual reality technology.
NIE professor Jason Wall Alexander holds a headset over his face, ready to transport to any number of far-flung alien locales, scenic vistas, or even a virtual Oval Office. But he's not going there. He's going to a virtual school gymnasium, particularly the gym in Anderson Hall, where he's an assistant professor in the Kinesiology and Physical Education Department, while Alexander teaches students training to be physical education teachers.
It's cool to know that it's probably, or it is, the first time being integrated in physical education across the country.
He's also the first NIE professor experimenting with virtual reality as part of the university's collaboration with VR education company Victory XR. Alexander Wall just piloted it with a class in the fall and will totally integrate it into his class this spring. NIU is one of 10 pilot institutions working with Victory XR. The partnership started this fall, and they built a VR version of NIU's campus, which I got to toss on a MetaQuest headset and visit with Jason Rhodes, Associate Vice Provost for Teaching, Learning, and Digital Education.
Hey, Jason, we're here.
Can you hear the birds?
I hear the bird. We got the library, we got the student center over there.
It's not the full campus. There's still lots of open cyberspace, but it includes a virtual version of Altgeld Hall, among a few other campus buildings. You can even go inside the student center.
The bowling alley is everything, and everything is in here. It's great. I am halfway down lane 12.
The technology is not perfect. It's not photorealistic. It looks more like high-end Nintendo Wii graphics. And as I learned myself, a shaky Wi-Fi connection or network error can boot you from a session. But Celeste Latham, NIU Associate Vice President for Resources and Facilities, says the university is embracing VR's potential. She says they're planning to initiate grants for faculty to transform their curricula, and VR will be a part of that. They also held a faculty workshop in the fall to let faculty try out the technology, and she says they formed an informal group of interested educators, too. Right now, it's just Alexander Wall and his physical education classes. But why a PE teacher prep class as NIU's first immersive VR course? Well, for one, he already had some experience using VR with students, and he had ideas of how it could help students prepare for clinical teaching experiences in a real physical gym. In the class, they have to create lesson plans and teach them to their peers in the real Anderson Hall gym.
Prior to doing that on campus, our students would go into the VR space in that same space that they're going to teach their peers, lay out the whole lesson. They would record their directions that they would give. They would record some of the feedback that they might give. And then I would watch it and kind of give some feedback on that.
For him, it's all about high-quality practice. It's hard for each of his students to gain access to a gym where they can run through a lesson plan, so VR can help provide that space with a little extra creativity.
I can go through the item bank and put a T-Rex and manipulate it, like flip it upside down. And you can obviously, like, that's like the extreme example. I do it with cones and with baseball bats and stuff.
Alexander Wall reiterates that nothing beats face-to-face instruction, full stop. But he says VR has been an effective tool for his students who have used it, and initial findings from other universities support that. And soon, it won't just be for PE instruction. Jason Rhodes says they have an audiology class interested in using VR for a project. Students could explore the anatomy of the inner ear as if they were walking through a massive one. And NIU's nursing programs want to use VR to run simulations so students can practice responding to patient situations and then go back and rewatch how they did. Other educators are already using Victory XR for classes like science and history. A history professor at another university and his students stand on and walk around a virtual map to learn about the Vietnam War, complete with VR replicas of military weapons used in the battle.
Behind you over here, you see the Huey helicopter, and I'm going to have you walk.
Virtual reality isn't necessarily new, but Rhodes says they feel like they're on the cutting edge of its potential for education, especially with the pandemic already opening up people to virtual tools like Zoom.
I think everybody wants more flexibility, more engagement with one another, and I think the VR technology just takes it to another level in terms of that sense of engagement.
The headsets are still expensive and not without technical difficulties, let alone nausea for some folks. But people like Rhode at NIU don't think it's a fad or a gimmick. They think for students, VR technology can actually be transformative. I'm Peter Medlin.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it'll be sunny and cold today with a high of 19 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Indy Kara, Cameron Cutinello, Jim Meadows, and Peter Medlin. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.